Today's shiur is a Masechta Chul on Daf Mem Hey. We will begin on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis in the middle of the second last line on the Amud with the words Rabbi Zeira. Three lines up from where we're beginning the shiur, the Gemara told us in yesterday's shiur that Rabbi Lazar's minig was when the house of the Nasi would send him presents, he would not take those presents, and when he was invited to come to eat to the house of the Nasi, he didn't go. And his reasoning was because the Pasuk says, V'sayne matanais yichya. The Pasuk in Mishlei tells us that he who despises presents will live. The Sefer Michtav Melayo from Hagoyin Rav Elio, Dessler Zitzel, in the first Chelik, in the Kuntres HaChesed, tells us that the world is divided between the Noisnim and the Noiklim, those who see themselves as the center of the world, the grabbers, and the Noisnim, those who see others as the purpose of the world, and that their function in this world is to provide to others. The Michtav Melayo tells us that the greatest no-tail is a murderer. He will stop at nothing in order to gain that which he seeks, even to take someone else's life. A lesser madrega of a no-tail is a ganiv. He won't kill someone, but if he can steal it and take it away from the other person, he'll do that. But, says the Michtav Melayo, even someone who wouldn't kill, who would not steal, but he enjoys getting gifts, he is also a no-tail. He has in him the character trait of a no-tail. He's not as bad, of course, as the ganav and the rotzeach, but he also has with him that midah. He's not a total no-sein to give to others. Now let us see how Rav Zeira acted in the same situation as Rav Lazar. Begins the Gemara. Rav Zeira ki mishadre lei lo shakel. He did the same as Rav Lazar when it came to taking gifts from the house of the Nasi. He refused to take it because of Sayin HaMatanis Yichya. But ki have mizamnin lei, but when the house of the Nasi would invite him, as the last Rashi on the Omid says, lecho letzlam, to eat by them, ozel, then he would go. Omar, he said, as we turn to Daf Mem Hei Omid Aleph, is yakure hu demis yakuri bi. They are receiving kavod from having me as their guest. So when I accept the invitation to go to eat there, I'm not a no-tail. I'm not taking from them. The opposite. I'm a no-sein because they are getting prestige that I, as an Adam Chashev, is coming to eat by them. This is similar to the Gemara in Kedushin of Zayin Amid Aleph, where the Gemara says that if a woman gives a matana, a present, to a Chashev, a person, to an important person, as Rashi says, there she'enoi rogel l'kabel matanis, that he usually doesn't take gifts from anyone, and in this instance, he did accept the matana from the woman. The din is that she is mekudeshes. But when he accepts the gift from her, it's as if he's giving her something, says the Gemara. Debahi ano dekom kabel matana mina gamra umaknele nafsha. The pleasure that she derives in the fact that he, as an important person, is taking a gift from her, it's as if she's getting something, as Rashi says, she'atirtze zois laseis pruta la'adam she'ifasena lezeh l'kabalei mena matana. She is willing, she would pay someone who would have influence with this chashev a person, that he would accept a gift from her, and she's ready to pay for that. So when she doesn't pay for it, but he accepts it anyway, so it's as if he is giving her a pruta. He's giving her some money because she doesn't have to pay anybody to influence him. He accepted it. So therefore, she is mukudeshes when he accepts the gift from her because it's as if he's giving her some money. So to here, Rav Zeira felt that if he accepts the invitation to the house of the Nasi, he is giving to them. He is not taking. He's not in the getter of Soinei Matonis Yechim. After this beginning of Agadita, we get into the Hilchus Treifus. Omer, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rav. Said Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav. Nikva kinapa mitstarfim leruba. We are speaking about the kana, the windpipe, the trachea, and we know that it is a treifa if rov is nifsak, if most of the windpipe is severed, that makes the animal into a treifa, the shechita would be pasul. However, let's say we have a kono, which has small holes in it, and they are like a sieve, and we'll see different reasons why Rav says that they look like a sieve. So they are mitzarif to a roiv. So Rashi says, first, the second line of Rashi, kenapa hagargeres, the kana, the windpipe, saviv savalek heifa, nekavim dakim kenapa. There are very thin holes like a sieve that are going around the circumference of the kana. Mitzarif from nekavim leruva, says Rashi, ilu hoya kulam mechubor miyachad hoya ruba nifsek treifa. If we would connect the dots, we would go from one small hole to another, and that would constitute, if they were lined up one next to the other, a row, a majority of the trachea. It is considered that it is severed in the majority of the trachea, and it is trepha. Now, there is here a fundamental machlokus between the Bach and the Rishash on the one hand against the Rut. And the question is, do we count in this rove the piece of solid material of the kana which is still intact, or we don't? The Rishash and the Bach are of the opinion that we do count the part in between. We only count the holes, and that would seem to be the lashon of Rashi. Ilu hoyu kulam mechuborim yachad hoya ruba. If by connecting them all together you would have most of the trachea severed, then it's considered a trefa. So it seems to be that you're connecting the dots together. You're not counting the very thin piece of kana that is between one hole and the other. However, the Ran disagrees, and the Ran's opinion is that, as Rashi later, three lines before it gets wide, Divrei HaMaskil Nafya says, Ke'ein sho'isna napa sheminichim sham yuriyaz nav zonav hasus api ho'egel. The Rashi there describes a sieve. They used to take thin horsehairs, and they used to put it on top of the circumference of the keli, and have these horsehairs lined up, and they were thinner than the holes in between one horsehair and another. So the Ran says that since they were so thin, and you have the holes of a sieve, that's why we compare it to a sieve, because their holes are one right next to the other, and in between each hole, the solid part is very thin, like a horsehair. So therefore, this is something that will not stand up, and over time, it will totally crack. Therefore, even when it's solid, I look at it, says the Ran, as if it has been severed, and therefore, we count not only the holes, we count the solid part between one hole and another. So Rashi and the Rashi, according to the Rishash and the Bach, are of the opinion that we do not count the solid part of the kana in between the holes, and the Ran says that it can't last like this, it has to sever, and therefore, even if it's not yet severed, it's considered severed. Masa Rabbi Yirmiyah had a question on this halacha of Rav, and he brings the shiloh from a mishnah in Olos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel. And we're speaking about there, says, as Rashi explains, the tumah of oil hames, of a dead person in a house, in a tent, that there is tumah over the entire house. So let's say there was a head, a gulgoilus, in this oil, but it was missing, part of the skull was missing. So the Mishnah there in Oloi says that if there's missing as much as if it would be taken from a live person, he would die. That's considered that it's sufficiently missing, and it's not considered a skull to be metame through Tumas Oel. The Rashi brings the Gemara in Bukhari's Daf Lamed Ches, and that explains how much does the skull have to be missing. As much as Kemole Makdeach. A Makdeach Shal Reifim, a surgeon had a drill, and if there is a hole equal to the size of the drill, that's considered that by a living person, if he was missing that in his skull, he could not live. And then if such a skull was in an oel, it is not metame if it is missing that kemole makdeach. Now let's see the Gemara inside. Masa Rabbi Yirmiya ubigu goylis sheyesh boi nekev echod arch. What happens if it doesn't have a circular part missing, but it has elongated nekev, a hole? It's long. Or afilu yesh boi nekev maharbe. It doesn't even have one hole. It has numerous holes. The din is mitzaref lemole makdeach, that these holes together are mitzaref to the total surface of a surgeon's drill. And also the long hole, if I would make it circular, if I have the total space of a moli makdeach, then even though it is not as wide as a moli makdeach, but it's longer than a moli makdeach, but that would, if I would make it into a circle, I would have that surface, then it is missing and it's not metame. Alma, what do we learn from that din in Olois? Kivin de shiura moli makdeach. Since the amount that's necessary to make it into a chesoron that it's missing is a moli makdeach, the surgeon's drill, that size. So therefore, even if I have small little holes or I have a long hole, the moli makdeach mitzdarfen, they join together to make that total surface of a moli makdeach. Hachanami, I can learn from that din in all lois, kiven dishiri keiser, as we're going to learn further on daf nun dalet amid aleph. It says there that the amount that's necessary to be missing in a kana, that the animal should be considered a treifa, is the circumference of a iser hoitalki, an Italian small coin called an iser. So even if I have small holes, I can be mitzarev them together, like iser, mitzarefina. Just like by the moli makdeach, I put the small holes together and I say that if these small holes together have the size of a moli makdeach, it cannot be metame. So to here, I should say that if I have these small holes together, and together they make up an iser, they should be mitzarif. And what's Rav Yirmiya asking? He's asking, why do you tell me that the shear is, that it's mitzarif into the halach of roiv? First of all, that would only be in a circumference. Let's say you had this going down the side of the kana, if you had those holes, it would not render the animal treifa. But if I'm missing an iser, then it renders a treifa. So why do you go with the shear of mitzarf and laruba? Go with the shear of an iser. And also, let's say you are speaking about the width of the kana. Let's say it's missing an iser, but it's not a roiv. L'chayra the shear is an iser. So why do you make the shear of adding the dots together, the holes together, that it has to constitute a roiv of the kana that is severed? I could have less than that. And yet it should be a treifa because it adds up to an iser. So Tosfos here in Divrei Maskil Ishtamitza says that Rav Zvid in the Hava Minna thought that the reason we compare it to a sieve is just like a sieve, the holes are punctured all the way through and the material is missing. It's not just broken through, a rupture, but it's still attached. That total surface of the hole is missing any material. So he's asking, this is a case of a missing piece of the kana. It should be measured with the Gemara further in Daf Nun Daled of Isser. Why are you measuring it with the roiv? So the Gemara answers, Ishtamitze, the one who's asking this question, which is Rabbi Yirmiya, he forgot, Hodom, Rav Chelba, Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Rav, that which Rav Chelba said in the name of Rav Chama Bar Gurya, in the name of Rav, Nekav, M'sheish, Rav Chesaron, if it is missing material all the way, the hole is totally through and through, there is an airspace and the piece of the kana there is not there anymore. So then mitzarfen l'kisser, the shear there to make it a treifa, is if it's missing a an amount that's equal to the total surface of this small Italian coin, the Isser. But she ain't bo hen chasarin, but let's say it's just punctured through. But it's not missing. There we don't go with Isser, there we go with the Roiv. And you can add up all these small holes, I'm at star from Laruba to make it into a Roiv. So Toysus explains the Gemara's Teretz, that Rav Yirmiya thought that why are we comparing it to a sieve, just like a sieve, the holes are totally have no surface of horsehair at all, empty space, and that's why he's asking it should be totally in an Isser. The answer is no, it's compared to a sieve, just like a sieve has many small holes that are all together. And as the Run explained before, the holes are bigger than the thin horsehair that is next to each hole. That's why I'm compared to a sieve. And that's why the Run said that I consider even the solid part of the kana as if it is broken through, because it's so thin, and the holes are like a sieve, they're one right next to each other, so that's going to totally break through, and therefore we go with the din of roif. That's why we're comparing it to a sieve. But really, it's not missing. If it's not missing, the shear is roif, and the shear is not an isser. The only question that Toysus has on this shot is, why does the Gemara say ichtamit say? He forgot. Rav Yirmiya didn't forget. Rav Yirmiya knew that chilek between something that has a chsorin that's missing and something that's not missing. It's just broken through. It's punctured, but it's still there. It's still attached. He knew that chilek, but he understood the comparison to a sif is that it's broken through completely. So he didn't forget something. So that's a question that Toysus has and does not resolve that question. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rabba Barbar Chanan Rabbi Shuben Levi, Nitloi Menu Ritsua, if on the side of, not through the width of the Kana, but on its side, a piece of the Kana was removed, and it has a chasar, and it's totally missing, Mitztaref is like a Isser, so then the Shear will be an Isser. Then you don't need the din of Roiv severed of the Kana. Then the Shear, as we learned before, is the Isser Italki, the small Italian coin. Boy, Minei Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Nachmani Rabbi Shuben Levi. He asked him the following question. Nikva Kenapa Mahu. Exactly the same question that we had on the second line of the Gemara, which Rav said. What happened if you have these small little holes and it is, they are compared to a Napa? What will be the halacha then? Amalei, he responded, Hare Amru, we already got an answer to that. If it's missing material, there is no piece of kana there in that hole, then the shear is Isser, Hoitalki, the Italian coin, but if there is no chesar, it's not missing, it's just punctured through, but it's still attached, so then I add up all the little holes together, and then the shear is the roiv of the kana. And again, we add the machloikas between the Rishash and the Bach on one side and the Ran on the other side, if we're going to count in that case the solid pieces in between each hole. Is that considered severed and it adds to the roiv, or it's not considered severed and it does not add to the roiv? Continues the Gemara, Bo'ifa Mai, what will be the halacha concerning a bird? The Rabbeinu Yeruchim explains that the Gemara's question concerning the trachea, the kana of a bird, is not in a case where there is no deficiency, where there's no chesaron, because there, of course, we would have the same halacha as by an animal, that roiv would be considered a trefa, and any holes that would be mitzarf to a roiv would be considered a trefa. The Gemara's question must be speaking where there was a chesaron. Now, when there is a chesaron, we learned before there's a different shear, and that is of an isser. So, ein chanami, you can have an isser in the length of the kana of a bird, but in the width of the kana of a bird, it's smaller than a isser. So that could not be the shear. As the Rabbeinu Gershom says here, Ba'oifa, around 15 lines down on the left side, Ba'oifa, my climber, Ba'oifa, de'ein onu yecholim mishayin akavim sheishbem chesaron b'ke iser. Sha'akana ein arach of kolkach, hecha misharinen. And as Rashi tells us, we're speaking about here, Rashi in the Ramaskal Trefa says at the end, anikva kenapo kaimina. We're speaking about a case where there are holes, one right next to the other in the kana, and they're missing. And by missing, the shear is an isser. But here, it's the width of the trachea is smaller than an isser. So how do what shear are we going to use when it's missing in the width? In the length, we could have an isser, but not in the width. So what's the shear? That's the question here of Ba'ifa Mai. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Nachman, Ilu D'Dima Farshlim Li Menei Rabbi Elazar. To me, it was explained in the name of Rabbi Elazar, that what do you do is the following. Mekaploi umenichoi al pi akana. He cuts around the area of the holes, and he makes a flap. It's still attached on one side. He cuts around from three sides, and he cuts off the kana at that point, and then he sees if how wide this flap is. Im chayfes reva kana treifa. If the flap covers up most of the kana, then it's treifa. But vim lav kisher, and if not, it's kosher. In other words, he makes like a sieve because the flap has in it holes, and now he's putting that sieve over a empty area, just like you put a sieve on top of the empty area of a keli. So he makes like a sieve, and then he determines the answer. Is the sieve covering most of the kana? Then it's treif. If it's covering less than a majority of the kana, then it will be kosher. Amar Rav Papa, said Rav Papa, v'simanech, the way for you to remember this halacha is napya. Think about a sieve. As Rashi says, you ask the question concerning a perforation with holes one right next to the other like a sieve, and the answer is that you actually have to make a sieve by cutting around the holes, making a flap, and considering it as if you have a sieve on top of the kana. At that point, you've cut off the kana in half, and then this flap is sticking out over the chalal, over the empty space of the kana, and now you see, does it have roiv or not? Now, what Rashi adds here is that certainly we're going to include the solid pieces between each hole. And the Meforshim explained, the Yad Yehuda explains, that even if we were to hold by an animal, we had a machlokes before, between the Rishash and the Bach, against the run, do you consider the solid parts in between the holes as being severed or not? Here, by a bird, everyone will be moida that you will consider it severed, because a bird is so fragile compared to an animal, so certainly we will say, when you have it like a sieve, with the holes right next to each other, and in between each hole, it's very thin. So there, certainly by a bird, which is so fragile, it's going to collapse, and that is certainly considered severed, and it will definitely be a chelik of the roiv by a bird, even more than by an animal. By an animal, there could be some question. By a bird, certainly it'll be considered severed, and that is the way to determine this treifa. Continues the Gemara, Nifchasa Kedelis. What happens if it became deficient in the kana, like a door that it open and closes? The kana had a hole in it, but it's still attached, and it's not deficient, it's not missing. What's the halacha there? What makes it into a treif? Amar Rav Nachman, Kedei Sheyikanes Iser L'Rochboi, that the hole has to be so big in order to make it a treif, that an isser has to be able to go in its width. Tosis explains, on the face of the coin, and this excludes derech avyoi, the side of the coin, that would be very thin, but rather it has to be so big that the face of the coin is able to go forward into this hole. Only then is it a trefa. And since it's attached and the door can close, it's not considered life-threatening unless it's so big that the isser would be able to go in on without anything holding it back. And this would mean that small holes together or a long hole would not be sufficient, because then the isser would not be able to go in. In fact, the Damascus Eliezer tells us that the word reichev, l'rachba, here means berafchus, that it can go in with revach, it can go easily, unencumbered, into this opening. Only then would it actually be a treifa. Continues the Gemara, nizdika, what happens if it split down the length? Amar Rav, said Rav, afilu lo nishar bo ela chul ya'achas lamayla, v'chul ya'achas lamatik shera, even if there's only one chulya. We know that on the kana there are cartilages, which are also called tabas, rings, they're bands around, they're actually like horseshoes. They're on three sides of the kana, and at the bottom they have a ritzuas bas, or a sheath of membrane that connects one part of the chulia to the other, except for the tabas hagdoila on top, the cricoid cartilage, which is totally surrounded with cartilage. So Rav says that even if there's one chulia, which Rashi says he heard means actually one, but then Rashi says that the pshat that he likes better is that be'einai nirish ein sholosh taboyos, that it's a set of three, one set of three on top of the kana, one set of three at the bottom of the kana. So if it is severed all the way down, but it leaves over one set of three on top and one set of three at the bottom, k'sher, it is kosher. Amru kamed Rabbi Yochanan. So they said this halach of Rav in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar, he responded, my chulya, the kama Rav. What is Rav talking about with a chulya? You don't need a chulya. You don't need a set. You don't need one chulya. Ela ema, filo nishtarbo, ela mashu lamala. Umashu lamat k'sher, it's kosher, even if there's only a mashu, a tiny sliver of a tabas on top and a tabas on the bottom, it is kosher. And Rashi explains why are we so lenient in this treifa, because when it is split across, so then the movement of the throat on top, the tzavar, and the reya, the lungs at the bottom, that causes the cut to get worse and worse until it is severed completely. So that is a very serious treifa. Whereas if the cut is on the side, then the opposite, the movement of the tzavar on top and the ray at the bottom will cause the hole to come together and fuse together, and therefore it is less of a severe treifa, and therefore it's only if it's missing everything, there's no chulia. But if there's a mashu, says Rabbi Yochanan, that's enough to save it from this treifa. Then the Gemara says, "Amru kamei Rabbi Yochanan, mishmei Rabbi Yochanan." They told Rabbi Yochanan that in fact Rabbi Yochanan had said the same psak like Rabbi Yochanan, that a mashu on top and the mashu on the bottom is kosher. Amar lahu, he said to them, "Yadin chavrin bavloy lefrushkei taima." We could read it this way in an exclamation. Wow, the Gevaldik, our friends from Bovel, know how to say the pshat correctly, not like Rav, like I said it. In other words, Rav Yochanan was referring to Rav Yonason, who, although he was living then in Eretz Yisrael, he had come originally from Bovel, and he was trying to say that I'm very happy. Rashi, he says it as Shevach. He was saying a praise of Rabbi Yonason, and Rabbi Yonason got the right answer. I heard it from Rav Belsky Shalita that he learned it as a statement. Yadin chavrin bavloy lefrushkei taimam. I am happy that at least someone from Bavel, Rav, who originated from Bavel, his family originated from Bavel, lived in Eretz Yisrael, went back to Bavel. So he was also a Bavloi. So Rabbi Yochanan was saying, at least some of the Bavloim got it right. Rabbi Yonason got it correct. You only need a mashu. Rav didn't get it correct. So he made a statement that I am pleased to see that at least some Bavloim got it correctly. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef came to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef learned in front of Rabbi Yochanan. He's going to tell us now concerning the psul of Hagrama, which is shechting. It's one of the five psulim, and this one refers to shechting outside of the specific area where shechita should take place. And if it is done, the animal is a megremes, it is pasul for shechita. What is the area of the throat where shechita is kosher? So he says, kol hatzavar kula kosher shechita. The whole neck area is kosher shechita. Mitabas hagdoila, from the cricoid cartilage, the large ring, the one which has cartilage all the way around, ad kanfe rea tachtoina. We will explain kanfe rea tachtoina in a moment. Let us first concentrate on tabas hagdoila. So Rashi tells us that the Gemara here is going according to the shita which we had on Daf Yod Ches Amud Aleph, the shita in the Mishnah of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, but we paskin like Rab Chanina ben Antignos, that says that you can go even higher than the Tabas Hagdoila, which is the top ring around the Kana. You can go even higher until the Shipui Koiva Ulamata, which is the slope of the thyroid cartilage, which is the voice box, the larynx, which is above the Tabas Hagdoila. And one can see a beautiful picture of this in the Sefer Tzmunei Choyel, written by Harav Yaakov David Lach Shlita, who was a rabbinic coordinator here at the OU, and he produced a beautiful sefer on Elu Treifus that makes everything come colored, clear vision of what we are discussing. And one can find this picture on page 33, picture number 1.28. So that's concerning the top part of the throat. And now, how far down can one go? Ad kanfei reya hatachtoin, until the wings of the lung at the bottom. Now, to understand this, one can look either in the Art Scroll, page 45A3, the bottom picture, or the same picture can be found in Rabbi Lach Sefer Tmunei Chol, page 63, picture number 3.46b, where he shows the kona coming into the reya, into the lung. And what we have there, when the animal is standing regular, that the large lobes, which are called umois, meaning the main lobes of the lung, in which the air is put into, and when the animal breathes in, these are inflated. They're called umois because they are the main ones, from the word aim, the mother lobes. They are at the bottom, one on the right and one on the left. And then on top are the smaller lobes, which are called unos, like ears. So regularly, when the animal is standing on the ground, the smaller lobes are on top, and the larger lobes are at the bottom, as one can see in the pictures that I mentioned before. However, Rashi tells us that here in the Gemara, we are speaking where the animal is hoisted up by its hind legs, and it is turned over. And therefore, to understand this Gemara, really, you have to turn your sefer upside down. And then what happens is that, first of all, the unois, the small ones, are now at the bottom, and the umos, the big ones, are on top. And also, when the picture that you're looking at, the animal is facing you. So the left of the animal is to your right, and the right of the animal is to your left. However, if you turn the picture upside down, which would be the way when the animal is hoisted by its hind legs, it's turned upside down. So now the left lobe and the left part of the animal is towards your left. The right lobe, the right part of the animal, is towards your right. So now this is what the Gemara is saying. It goes how far down on the kona? It doesn't go tachtona, meaning, as we'll soon see, as Rav is going to explain, where the kona goes into the reya, into the lung, all the way at the bottom of the kona. If someone checked it there, it would be hagrama. It's possible. That's out of the area. The correct area is at the tip of the left small lobe. When the animal is turned upside down, it's at the bottom. That's what it means by tachtona, when the animal is turned upside down. So now that lobe, which is always on the top, now it becomes on the bottom. The throat is all the way near the bottom. And now above that are the small unois, the small lobes. And above that, since the animal is turned upside down, are the large umois. So when the small lobe is inflated, because air is brought into the lobe, so it gets higher, it goes up on the kona. At that point where the tip of the una meets with the kona after it's inflated, that's how far you can shecht, and it's not hagrama. From the tabas hagdol, or as we said, from the shipui of the kaiva, the slope of the thyroid cartilage, that's how we paskin. That's all the way on top when the animal is standing straight. And you can go all the way down until the tip of the una, which is the highest point of all the lobes. But since we're speaking where the animal is inverted, here it's the lowest. Here it's, that's what we say, ad kanfe, the wings, referring to the lobes, of the rea, ha tachtoin at the bottom. Amarava, tachtoin, the shehi al yoina. When I say that it's tachtoina, when we heard from Rabbi Yochanan that it's tachtoina, it really means it's al yoina. This small left una is really the top one. But why is it tachtoina? Because it's inverted. Sha'ani oimer, why do I have to say such a thing? Because I, paskin, that kol sha'poshet the savora, what the animal, when it stretches out its neck, veroya, and it's pasturing, ubulvaj leitanis, as long as it doesn't, it's not forced to project the kana. In other words, the kana is a flexible pipe. In fact, Rabelsky says that's where the person who invented the flex pipe got the idea from, the windpipe of the animal. The animal, when it wants to get something to eat, it stretches forth the flex pipe of the kana. So where the animal does it normally in its eating, that part of the kana is fine, up to the tip of the una. But not that someone should, the shaykhid should force it, and he'll take the kana outside of the chest area by pulling it up and shechting it there. That would not be kosher. Ubulvach leitanis, boy Rab Chanina, vitamer Rab Chananya, onse atzma mahu. What is the din if the animal itself, as Tosfos says, shepashta roisha yaisu midai litol yerek bebor, it wanted to get some vegetable from the pit, so it stretched out its kana more into the throat area than normal. A shaykhid didn't do it, the animal did it itself. What's the halacha? Is that kosher for shechita or not? The Gemara says, teiku, this is a shal, we don't have an answer, and Rashi says, we go l'chumra, whenever we have a suffix, is it a good shechita or not, we go l'chumra, v'chein halacha, says Rashi, that it would be considered hagrama, it would be considered that it is really too far down in of the kana, and the animal forced itself up, and therefore it would be a pasul l'shechita. Today is the Gemara. Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Rabbi Yochanan, Rosh Lakish, were sitting together. Nothing, Milstam, Ben Nayu, they agreed on the following halacha. Onas b'simonim, if an oinus happened in the simonim, if the shaykhid pulled the kana, for example, from down, the down part of the animal, he pulled it up into the area of the tzavor, or, as we learned before, the animal did it by himself, by itself. If the shaykhid did it, for sure it's possible. V'shachat psula, and even if the animal did it, we came out to a teku, and we paskin l'chumra, that it is possible. So that they both agreed on. Now, what happens if nikif hakana, if there was a hole in the kana? So we know if there's a hole in the top part, in the shechita part, so there it goes with roiv, or an isser, we learned at the top of the yamid. But what happens if this hole was lamata menachaza? It was under the breast, in other words, in an area where shechita would not be kosher. The halacha is, nidin kareya, it has a halacha of the reya. By reya, we know that the din is that even a small nekev invalidates the reya, makes it into a treifa. So it comes out that a kana in the area of shechita, there it has to be nifsak roiv, or if it's missing, like we learned, an iser. And if it's in the area, the same kana, in the area of the reya, there it gets a din of the reya, that even a mashu makes it into a treifa. Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan learned, Ezeu Chazet. Now we're speaking about, Rashi tells us, the matnas kahuna that are given from a shlomim to a kayin. One of them is the chazah, so what is considered the breast that is given to the kohen by shlomim? Zeh harayah sakarka. So Rashi explains this to mean that when the animal is standing on the ground, it's the meat, that the fatty meat that's at the bottom of the animal, there's no rib cage there. The ribs don't go all around the animal, doesn't go at the bottom of the animal. So you don't have to cut through the ribs in order to get to this meat. It's the fatty meat, which we call the brisket, which is at the bottom, and it's royah the kark, it sees the ground. And now, it gives you the area from the top to the bottom. But again, as we learned in the Gemara before, it flips over the animal. When the animal is by a butcher or a meat processing facility where it is being held by its hind legs, so now the neck, which is usually on top, becomes at the bottom. The stomach, which is at the bottom of the animal, now comes on top. So lamata, going down aratzavra until the neck, that's the chaza that you have to give to the kohen. Lamala, how far up is this brisket, this piece of meat? Ada keres, it goes till the keres, which is known as the pouch, and it is the first of the four stomachs of the animal. And what does he do? Choytech shteit slois mishteit defanois. He cuts from near the neck, there are two bones. So from two sides, he takes those first two ribs. Rashi says it's one rib on each side. Tosfos says from the Rabbeinu Chananel that it's two from one side and two from the other side. He does it, eilech ve'eilech, means from this side and from that side. This is the chazah that's given to the kohanim. And Tosfos says to exclude the chazah that we find by an oila where you have to put it on the mizbeach, l'nsochel, it has to be cut up. So the chazah was cut up and burnt on the mizbeach with all the other pieces of the oila, because the oila was completely burnt, only the skins were given to the kohanim. So there, the chazah does not include any of the ribs. However, here, by the chazah, by the brisket that's given as a mat, that's going to the Kayan, there it was taken from the first two ribs, it was cut, was made down to the bottom of the animal, to the brisket, and that was all given. If you want to see a picture, you can look in the art school 45A4. Continues the Gemara with the next part of the Mishnah, Nikav Krum Shamoyach. If the membrane of the brain had a hole in it, it's trefa. Someone quipped that the word here is written nikaf kruv shamoyach, and it wasn't corrected in any of the Gemaras. It's krum. It's not correct. The correct way is that this word is krum. Nikaf krum shamoyach. So now, before we get into what Rav and Shmuel are telling us, let us see what is in the moyach. We have four parts. There's the gulgoilus, the skull. Then we have the karma eloi, the upper membrane. This is a tough, thick, opaque membrane which you cannot see through. It's easily visible when the skull is opened, and it adheres to the inside of the skull. And one can see a clear picture of this in the Sefer Tumanei Chol, page 45, picture number 3.27a. Then we have the karma tato, the lower membrane. This is extremely thin. It's clear, transparent. It adheres to the brain like a plastic wrap on food. It's very difficult to see. If you look on page 45, you'll see the left hemisphere of the brain has the tato membrane removed, and you can compare it in that picture to the right hemisphere where the lower membrane is still there, and you can see the difference that the right side looks shiny. But it's very difficult to see, it's so closely attached to the brain itself that it's very difficult to decipher that you in fact have a thin membrane there. So we've done the gulgoilus, the karmi law, the karma tato, and then there is the moyach, the actual brain. Now let's see what Rav Shmuel said. Karmi law, the upper membrane, afagav dole inkev tato, that if there's a hole in the upper membrane, even if the lower membrane does not have a hole, as the Rush brings here from Tosfos on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis Divrei Maskil Yomar, that once the upper membrane has a hole in it, then in a very short time, the thin lower membrane will get punctured as well, and therefore it's not necessary to have it punctured because it's considered already as if it's punctured. The Amri law, but some say, ad the inkiv tato. And as Rashi on Daf Nun Vav Amud Alef Divrei Maskil Hanicha explains, this shita holds that it's not enough the top, you need also the bottom. He's not saying that all you need is the bottom. No, of course you need the top. But whereas the first man, the Omer, said you don't need the bottom, he says you need even the top. Omer Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, how are you going to remember this? V'simanech, the way to remember this, chayso, Rashi says a sack, a pouch. The mantach bei moicha, where the brain is in that pouch. In other words, this refers to the lower membrane. It's not enough that the upper membrane, but the lower membrane, which we said is like a plastic wrap on food, which is covering the brain, that has to be punctured as well. Amar Rav Chana, Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, kinegdoi bebeim nicker. That even though you said that the lower membrane is very difficult to ascertain, however, the same case by the testicles, by the bay zohar, you have the same thing, and there the lower membrane is discernible. What is the comparison between the moach and the bayim of a zohar, the testicles? Because you have all the way inside, and again, a picture of this is page 46 in Sefer Tumanei Chol, picture number 3.27b, And you'll see there the egg inside the testicle, covered by the lower membrane, which is clear and discernible. And above that is the upper membrane, the kruma elyon. And above that is the pouch, the kiss of the baim, which is like the gulgoilus, the skull, which has in it the moyach and the two membranes. So what he's trying to say is that you had a troubled seeing the lower membrane by the moach. If you look at the baim, you won't have that trouble. The shita Ksav Yad brings from Tosfos Chatzonius that it's referring to actual chicken egg, that you have the hard outer membrane, that's the hard shell, and then when you take away that hard shell, you have the thin inner membrane that covers the actual egg, and by a chicken there, that thin membrane is not so difficult to ascertain. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Shimon ben Pasur, Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapora. Moyach kol mashav kedera nidden kemoyach. The matter which constitutes the brain is similar to the matter of the spinal cord, and they have different halachas as far as treifas goes. Moyach is a nekev of a mashahu, whereas the spinal cord, it has to be rove, severed, in order to be a treifa. So where does the moach end, and where does the spinal cord begin? That's what Rav Shimon ben Pazi, in the name of Rav Shimon Levi, in the name of Bar Kapor, is trying to tell us. And he says, kol mashu there, whatever is in the cranium, in other words, which is like a pot, the skull around the brain, nidin kemoach. There, that matter, that substance, has a loch of moach, where even a mashu passes. His chalim shoach, but once it starts protruding away from the brain, away from the cranium, nidden kechuta shaitu, then it has a halach of the spinal cord, where roiv has to be severed in order for it to be a treifa. Umehecha maskelim shecha, where, at what point exactly does this change take place, and we say it begins to protrude outwards towards the spinal cord. It was explained to me in the name of Reb Shuman Levi, Kiminshne, as we turn to Daf Mem Hamid Beis, Kiminshne Poilin Yeish Munachin Al Pi Akedera. There are two small bones that look like beans that come from the skull, and they insert into the first chulya, the first vertebrae of the chuta shedra of the spinal cord. And that's where the neck and the skull come together. Min ha'poilin lufnim, from these two bean-like bones and towards the head, that's kalufnim. There it is treif even with a nekev, a kolshu. Min ha'poilin luchutz, from those beans and outward towards the back of the animal, that has a din kalachutz, like the shedra, and it will be with roif. Upulin atzman, what about the, as Rashi explains, the moach shekeneged apulin, the pulin themselves are not part of the moach, but the moach matter, that substance that is on the direct line of where these two bones are, what is the halacha with that area? He says, any day, I don't know what that's considered. Is it like inside or is it like outside? A mistavra, logically, kilifnim, it's like the inside, and therefore even a masha who would puzzle. The Gemara relates that Rabbi Yirmiyah Bodak Baifa, he checked a bird for these two pulin, the Ashkach Kiminshnei pulin Menachin Al Pi HaKeder, and he found that even by a bird, there is also two pulin that are lying on top of the cranium of the bird. Now, if we actually look at a bird, we will find that there is only one pull, and the shedra does not go between the pulim as it does by an animal, but it goes on top of that one pull. So what is the pshat here in this Gemara? So the Ravon says that in the brain of a bird, there are two bulges, which one can see, more pronounced than in an animal, and they look like two pulin. The Sefer Tzmunei Chol, on page 153, explains and suggests, and he shows a picture of it, picture number 3.30a, he shows that Einachanami, there's only one pull, one bean-like bone in a bird, but it also looks like two pull, not like the pshat of the Ravon, because it has a cleft. And if you look at that picture, you will see the cleft, And therefore, that one pull, because of the cleft, looks like two pulin, and that's what the Gemara is saying here. The Rav Yirmiya inspected a bird and was able to see that even by a bird, it doesn't say he found shnei pulin, it says kimin shnei pulin. There's something similar to two pulin. The Ravon has his pshat, the two bulges, and Rabbi Lach is suggesting the cleft makes that one pull look like two pulin. Rav Belsky says that although most treifas we do not have to inspect, however, from this Gemara we see that there is an inyan for a Talmud Chacham to take actual body parts of a animal or of a bird and inspect them so that he can become proficient in Hilchas treifas. Perhaps I thought that the Sefer of Rav Lach is so clear that perhaps one can get that shimush by looking at the beautiful pictures that Rav Lach has in his Sefer Tmunei Chol. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. Nikyav halev lebeis chalol. If there was a hole in the heart, in the chamber of the cavity, boy, Rabbi Zeri had a question. Which cavity are we speaking about? Lebeis chalol katna, lebeis chalol gadol, the small one or the big one? Actually, the Rishonim here give different versions of the amount of cavities that we have in amount of chambers that we have in the heart. Rashi says there's one big one in the middle and a lot of small ones around it. The Rashba says one big one in the middle and two small ones on the side. The Rambam says that the big chamber is on the left side, on the right side there's a small one, and really we don't have to say there's any machlokes here, but it depends on the angle and the direction that the heart is sliced. The appearance of these various chambers will look different depending on the direction and angle of the cut. The question is it the big one or is it the small one? Amalei Abaye, Amai Tiboruch, what's your question? Miloi Tanan, didn't we learn it in the Mishnah? Rav Shimon Omer, Atche Tenakev LeBeis HaSam Poinis. When we're speaking about the Reya, the Nekev can't be on the surface. It has to penetrate into the chamber of the bronchial tubes. From the Kana, the air goes to the bronchial tubes, which go into the various lobes of the lungs. The Amar Rav Bar Tachlif Amar Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba Amar Rav Atche Tinakev L'Simfon Gadol. This means that in each lobe it becomes treif if the nekev penetrates the primary bronchular tube that is going into that particular lobe of the lung of the reya. So the same thing over here, just like over there, Simfon Gadol. Here will be Chalol Gadol. It'll be the big cavity chamber. The Gemara says, what's the comparison? Hachi hashda. Hasam lebeis hasam poinus tani. There, it says it in the plural. And therefore, we interpret some poinus to mean, lehecha the shafchi, some poinus kula, where all of the bronchular tubes converge together. Where is that? Going into the main, the primary bronchular tube. That's why we said that beis hasam poinus means samfun gadol. But hacha, but here, by the heart, what does it say? Lebeis chalol loiktani. To its chamber, its cavity, in the singular, and therefore I could say, mali chol gadol, mali chol katan. What's the difference if it goes into the large chamber, or it goes into the small one? As long as it's going into the one, it would make it into a treifa. And one can see a picture of the phoinois, the bronchular tubes, in the Sefer Tmunei Chol on page 66, picture number 3.57. Continues the Gemara, Kana Halev, the pipe of the heart, and we'll soon see exactly what this means. We have a machlok, it's Rav Shmuel, Rav Omer B'mashu. Just like a nekev in the lev is B'mashu, so to this Kana Halev is B'mashu. U'shmuel Omer B'rubai. No, in order to be a treifa, it has to be severed in the majority. Ask the Gemara, Hainu Kana Halev, what exactly is the pipe of the heart? Omer Rav Bar Yitzchok, Omer Rav, he said the name of Rav, Chelev Shalgabi Defanis, it is the fat that is on the walls. And the Gemara assumed that this meant over the rib cage next to the flanks, the walls of the Behema. Rashi points out here that in the Lashon of the Torah, Chelev refers to all fats, whether they are kosher or whether they are non-kosher. The Rabbanan are the ones who gave the distinction between Chelev, which is treif, and Shuman, which is kosher. So the Gemara asks the question, Defanis al-Kedatach, are you telling me that there is a problem with the fat on the walls of the animal over the rib cage, even if it was totally decimated, the animal could still live. Ella answers the Gemara, Shal Gabi Doifne Reya. We're speaking about the fat that is on the walls of the Reya. And what this is referring to is the main artery which brings the blood all over the body, which is the aorta artery. It is covered by fat, and that is referred to as the conalev. It begins at the heart below the lungs. It swings back, goes above the lungs to the back of the body, sandwiched between the lungs, two arugois, the two rows of lobes, and then it's connected to the spine, and it brings blood to all the body's arteries. One can see a picture of this in the Sefer Tumni Choyl, page 53, photograph number 3.34a. Says the Gemara, Omer Amemer Mishmei to Rav Nachman. Amemer said the name of Rav Nachman. Tlosa Kanei Havid. There are three pipes. Chad Pirish Aliba. One goes to the heart. Chad Pirish Larea. One goes to the lung. The Chad Pirish Kavda, and one goes to the liver. Rashi says, Divrei Amasa Tlosa Kanei Havid. La'acher Shehakana Nichnas L'chaza. When the Kana, the windpipe, the trachea, goes into the chest, Mispatzel Shloshi, it divides up into three sections. So, from the simple wording of Rashi, it would seem that Rashi is learning that the Tlosa Kane are all offshoots of the Kana, the larynx, the windpipe. And of course, this Rashi needs a lot of Hesber, because we are familiar with the Kana going into the Reya, into the lungs, but there is no Kana that shoots off to the heart or to the liver. Ayin in the Sefer Tumni Choyl, in a lengthy discussion of how to understand Pshat and Rashi, pages 155, 157. It would seem the simpler way to understand this Gemara is what the Yad Yehuda brings in the name of the Rambam, that we are not speaking anything to do with the bronchular tubes with the windpipe, but rather we are speaking about the major blood vessels. And here, in fact, there are three major blood vessels. And one of them is what we spoke about before, the Kana Halev, the aorta, which is, as the Gemara says, Chad Pirish Laliba. It runs along the side of the heart. The second one is the pulmonary artery, which goes to the lungs, to the Reya. And the third one is the Vena Cava artery, which goes to the liver, to the Kaved. Continues the Gemara. The Reya, Kareya, the one that goes to the lung, has a din of the lung, and therefore even of a nekev of a mashu would make a treif. The Kavda, Kikavda, the one that goes to the liver has a din like the liver, which Rashi brings down from the Gemara and Duffman Beis, that by the Kaved, it has to be missing completely in order to be treif. If there is some of the liver remaining, it is not treif. And the same would apply to this Kana going to the liver. The Liba Pli, the Kana of the Lave, there is the Machloikis. That's the Machloikis we had before on the Aorta, the Machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, whether it's a Mashu or whether it's Roif. Mar Barchia Masneifcha, he learned just the opposite. The Reya Kekivda, the one that goes to the Reya, has a halach of the Kaved where it has to be missing entirely. The one that goes the Kivda into the liver, that has a halach of the Reya where even a Mashu makes a treif. The Liba Pli, the Machloikis, is by the one that goes to the heart between Rav and Shmuel. Rashi says that Stavra is like the first Lashon, because we saw in Amud Aleph that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish both said that Nikev HaKana Lamata Menachaza Nidin Kareya, that if the Kana underneath where it enters into the chest, it has a halacha of the lung, of the Reya, that it's a treif with a mashu. So it would seem that the first Lashon here is correct. The Reya, Kareya, which is like we paskin Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish on Amud Aleph. Continues the Gemara, Ozel Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Amr L'shmaitze, the Rav Kameh de Shmuel. He said this psak of Rav concerning the Kana Halev, that it is treif b'mashu. He said in front of Shmuel. Shmuel had not heard of the psak of Rav. Rav was a Rosh Hashiva in Surah, Shmuel was a Rosh Hashiva in Narda. And the news had not come down to Shmuel of what Rav paskin. Amr Lei, so Shmuel said to Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Yochi Amr Abba, if that's what Abba said, lo yada b'treifus lo klum, he doesn't know anything about Hilchas treifus. Rashi's opinion is that Shmuel was referring to Rav. His real name was Rav. He referred to him as Abba because Rav was a greater Talmud Chacham than Shmuel, and he referred to him with this title as Abba. Tosis in several places in Shas says the opposite, that really his name was Abba, except just like we find Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was given the name of Rebbe He was the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. So too, Abba, because of his greatness in Torah, was given the name of Rav, that he is the Rav of Klal Yisrael. But either way, Shmuel was saying that in this area, Rav was not correct when he paskened that Kana Halev is treif b'mashu. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. Nishbar HaShedra. If the Shedra broke, Tana Rabbanu, we learned, Chut HaShedra Shenifsek Beruba. What makes a treif? If it got severed, roiv of the spinal cord. Divrei Rebbe, that's Rashid of Rebbe. Rebbe Yaakov Amar, Filonikev, even if there was a small cut, a small hole. Even though Rebbe was Makel, but when it came halacha lemaisa, a question came for Rebbe to paskin, he paskin like Rebbe Yaakov, that even a small nekev is treif. Rav Huna said, ain halacha Rebbe Yaakov. The halacha is not like Rebbe Yaakov. The halacha is that the shedra has a din that only if roiv is nifsak, then it becomes treif. V'kama ruboy. And how much is roiv? Exactly what constitutes a roiv? We have two parts to the shedra. One is to the chut hashedra, one is the oir, the skin that is around the mayach. The mayach are the nerve tissue of the spinal cord. So what exactly has to get severed in the roiv? The oir or the mayach? That's the question here in the Gemara. So Rav Amar Roiv Oiroi. Most of the skin surrounding the nerve tissue has to get severed, even if the nerve tissue remains complete, whole. V'amrilo, and some say Roiv Mayachai, that even if the outer skin is intact, but if inside the tissue is severed, that will make a treifa if it's roiv. Manda amar roiv moichai koshkan roiv oirei. So the Gemara says the shita that holds that roiv moichai, so certainly roiv oirei, as Rashi explains, because if the oir holds the moich inside, and if roiv moich is treif, even if the oir is whole, then certainly if the oir, the skin around it, is severed, then the moich will come out, and if that will be considered for sure a treif. But lemandi yomer roiv oiroi, according to the mandi yomer who said roiv oiroi, roiv moich amai, what's the halacha with roiv moich? What happens if the oir is complete, and it is the nerve tissue inside that is roiv severed? What would be the halacha? Tosis points out that L'chaira, if you're assuming that maybe according to this one, the Yomar Roiv Moicha would also be treif, then why did he say the smaller chiddush of Roiv Oiroi? He should have said the bigger chiddush, that even Roiv Moicha is treif, because Roiv Moicha is a bigger chiddush according to the Gemara here than Roiv Oiroi. So Tosis answers that he still wanted to say Roiv Oiroi because you would have thought that Oiroi, which is a worse a defect, maybe you don't need roiv. Therefore, he wants to tell you that even oiroi needs roiv, but it could be that moichai also roiv would be a treif. That's Gemara Shal Toshma. Omar Nivli. Rashi says Shem Chacham. This was the name of a Chacham. Omar Rav Huna said the name of Rav Huna. Rubi Shamru. What they said roiv oiroi. That refers to the or moich ze loymal loymarid. As far as the moich, it doesn't make a difference. Even if roiv of it would be severed, it would still be kosher. Rav Nosson bar Avin, Havi Yosef made a Rav, he was sitting in front of Rav, Barak Baroiv Oiroi, he first checked Roiv Oiroi, when he saw that was intact, they called Barak Baroiv Moicha, he went on to check into the nerve tissue, Omer Lei, so Rav told him, Im Roiv Oiroi Kaim, if you check the Roiv Oiroi and it's complete, then Moich Zeh, Ein Amav Loi Moirid, Ein Amoirid, it wouldn't make a difference, even if the Roiv Moich was severed, it would not make a difference. Omer Rabba bar Barchana, Omer Rabbi Shub ben Levi, Nismarech Pasol. If it is liquefied, the spinal tissue, then it's possible. Nismas meis possible. If it's soft, it's also possible. Now, nismarech, we're going to see it's like flowing like water. It's so liquefied, that's, of course, a worse treifa than if it's just soft. So why do we say both? So Rashi says that if it would only say nismas meis, I would think that nismas meis means liquefied. And I would think that if it's only soft, it's kosher. That's why he wanted to tell you both are puzzle. Now the Gemara defines these terms. Ezuhi hamrocha of ezuhi hamas masa. What is the definition of these two terms? Hamrocha, kosher nishpokita. Anything that when you puncture it, it flows out like water from a jug of water. Mismasma. If it's soft, kol she'ena yochel amid. If you're holding on to the shedra and the top above your fist that you're holding the shedra droops over, if it's so soft, so then it is considered a treifa. Ask the Gemara, Shaila, boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, ena yochel amid, mipnei kvaidai. As Rashi explains, it's very thick. And because it's so thick, it's very heavy. And because of its weight, it can't stand up. And it's not drooping because it's soft. It's drooping because it's so heavy. My, what's the halacha there? Answer the Gemara, teku, that's a shiloh, whether that also would be considered a treif or not. And by every teku, we always go sveikoi lechumra, that it would be considered a treif. Rashi explains over here that although we said in the Gemara before that when it comes to the moichoi, loy milo veloy myrid, that's only referring to a cut. However, in the cases that we've mentioned here, for example, when it's liquefied, or it is very soft, or possibly even when it's very heavy, when it's hard, so there, Chazal understood that if the moyach, the nerve tissue, is in such a state, it means that eventually, very soon, the outer skin will crack as well. And the mele, we consider as if the outer skin is cracked already, and that's why it's treif. Even though the moyach itself is loy marv, loy marid, but such a problem in the moyach will cause a problem in the skin, and therefore it is treif. Or Rashi says that these situations of liquefied or soft, or drooping over because it's heavy, they are such a severance that it is worse than just a roiv of the moyach that is cut. As Rashi says, that ein pisu gadol mizeh, there's no greater severance than in a state of, for example, liquefied, and therefore, even if the outer skin is intact, it will be treif. To get a proper understanding of how this works biologically, Ayin in the Sefer Tmune Choyl on page 157, where there's an entire discussion on this inyan, and Rav Yisrael Belsky Shlita explains this in a scientific manner. Continues the Gemara. Bei Rav and the yeshiva of Rav Amri, they said, Nizmas meis pasul, Nizmas meis kosher. That Nizmas meis, we learned before, means when it's soft, that's pasul. But if it's nizmazmeis, which means some of it is deficient, that would still make the chut hashedra not a treifa, it would be kosher. Rashi says, why does it say both cases here? Because if it would only say nizmazmeis, we would think that perhaps nizmazmeis is really nizmazmeis, as we're going to see in a few lines, that a certain brisa was quoted as nizmazmeis, and the Gemara says it's really nizmazmeis. It sounds very similar. The zines and the samachs were interchanged. So therefore, to make sure that you don't think that he's saying this masmes, and he's saying it's kosher, and he's arguing on the psak that we had just before that this masmes is possible, therefore he says both halachas. I want you to know that I agree with what was said before that this masmes is possible. I'm telling you a new halacha that this masmes, that is kosher. That if the moich became lost some substance in the moich, it is still considered treifa, so it's difficult on what you just said, that it's kosher. The Gemara answers, hahi nizmazmeis itmar, that wasn't nizmazmeis, it sounded like nizmazmeis, they were really speaking about nizmazmeis, where it became soft, and that is treif. Ain the asking more of all Levi, there's a story that happened by Levi, haviyasa b'emesus, who was sitting in the bathhouse, chaziel who gavri, saw a certain individual who slipped, and the Shita brings here the word bekaisel, the tar yelereshe, he smashed his head when he slipped on the wall. And what was Levi's reaction to this? Omar nizmazmeis moicha dedain. He felt so bad for this person. This person has lost substance in his brain. And lav delechaye. Isn't it trying to say that he wouldn't be able to live? He'd be a treifa. So it's difficult on what we said before. So Taisus, and the bottom Taisus, asked the kasha from the Ravam, how could you compare one to the other? Until now, we've been speaking about the moyach of the shedra, the nerve tissues of the shedra. But there it's a treif with a roiv. Mashenkin, here we're speaking about the moyach, the brain. The brain is even a mashahu makes a treif. So how could you compare one din to the other? Taisus remains with a kasha. But anyway, the Gemara says that it's no raya anyway from what Levi says. Why? I'm Rabbi Eloi. Loi marshein amoylet. All Levi was trying to say is that since he caused, by smashing his head, losing some substance in the brain, that's going to cause him, not that he's going to die, not that he's going to be a treifa, but he won't be able to have children, as Rashi explains, because the brain is connected to the shedra, the spine, and connected to that is the gira nosha, the sciatic nerve, and connected to that is the member of a male. So it's all connected one to another, and therefore the brain has a power, the way the body is biologically made up, that it will affect his ability to have a child. Now the Gemara asks the question, on the top of the summit we learned from where the Shedra begins, where the halacha changes from the moyach of a mashehu, and it goes to a roiv that has to be severed. Now we want to know, not at the top, which we said was where the shnei pulin were, those two small bones, but rather we want to know towards the end of the Shedra, going down to the tail of the animal, at what point, as Rashi explains, does the Shedra lose its power, and if something would happen over there, the animal would not be considered a trefa, because it's not giving the life force to the animal. Even if there was, even if it was severed at that point, it would not affect the life of the animal. Where do we say that the power of the Chut HaShedra ends? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ad Bein HaParshois. It goes from the neck all the way down to the Bein HaParshois. Now, what are the Bein HaParshois? So you could see a very good picture of this in the art scroll on 45b5, where we find that the Shedra, as it goes down towards the end part of the animal, it begins to branch out above the hind legs of the animal, and one branch of the cord goes down to one leg, another branch goes down to the other leg, the middle branch continues down the spine towards the tail, and then every two finger widths, approximately, as we go further and further back in the animal, the cord again branches out into three parts, and another two finger widths further, it again branches out. So, for example, let us take four branches, and these are called the proshois. Now, Rashi calls each set of branches that are coming out from the Shedra, the Chut HaShedra, he calls it singular, a set of parsha. So now, if you had, let's say, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, you had four sets. So then, in between the four sets, there are Bein HaParsha. The set itself is called Prusha, and between the sets, it's called Bein HaParsha. So between 1 and 2, you have Bein HaParsha Aleph. Between 2 and 3, you have Bein HaParsha Beis. And between 3 and 4, you have Bein HaParsha Gimel. So he told him that when you come to the Bein HaParsha, that's where it ends. Not clear exactly what does he refer to, but we'll see as the Gemara goes on, we'll see if he was referring to 1, 2, or 3. Rav Dimi bar Yitzchak HaVekabor LeMezel Bein Chuzoi. He wanted to leave Rav Yehuda, and he wanted to go to the city of Bein Chuzoi. He was in a rush, but before he left, Asa LeKamed Rav Yehuda came to Rav Yehuda, Omer Lech V'Limar, let the master show me Bein HaParsha Techa. Where exactly is the end of the Shedra by the Bein HaParsha, where from that point on, if it's severed, it will not cause a trefa? Omar Lay said, you want to see it? Zilla Isolay Gedi, bring me a goat. I'll show it to you. Isolay Gedi Shmani, he brought him a fat goat. Now Rashi explains that this goat was skinned. He didn't have time to make any insection into the animal itself. He wasn't able to dissect it and see it internally. So, but in a normal case, he would be able to show him that there were white strands before it enters the meat of the tail. That's where the Bein HaParshois is, which from that point and on, it would be mutter. So he thought he would be able to show him it in a gedi. So he brought him a fat gedi. On my lay, so Rabbi Yehuda said, I'm sorry, I can't show it to you here. Why? I'm not able to pinpoint exactly where the spot is, because the white hairs that would indicate that spot are embedded inside the fat here, and I can't show it to you unless we'll dissect it. You don't have time for us to dissect it. So he brought him a lean goat. Amalei, I still can't do it to you. Why? The hip bones stick out too much, and they also cover up those white hairs, and I can't show you the exact... It's not clear for me to show you the exact spot. Amalei, he said, you know what? Instead of showing it to you visually, let me tell it to you, Balpeh. Let me tell you the Mesor. At least you'll know what the halach is, which Bein HaParshois we're speaking about. Is it the first? Is it the second? Is it the third? Hachi Amar Shmuel, this is what Shmuel said, Ad Achas Treifa, from the neck all the way down to the first Beina Prashas, which means between Prusha Aleph and Prusha Beis, that's Treifa. Shlishis, if it's already between the third and the fourth Prusha, which means it's the third Beina HaPrushas, so that's already far down, and that's where the Shedra loses its strength, and it will not make a treifa if it's cut at that point. So Shlishis Kshera, if it's in the third Beina Prusha, it's kosher. Shania Eini Yodea, if it's in the second one, which means it's between, it's the second Beina Prusha, which is between the Prusha Beis and Prusha Gimel, I don't know what the halach is, whether that is considered like the top and it is treif, or whether it's considered like the third one and it will be kosher. And in tomorrow's shir, they will explain in more detail precisely where this spot is.